Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic View. Psychic View. On PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. With your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and I'd like to give you a warm welcome to tonight's broadcast of the Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight we'll be discussing the world's most famous poltergeist case, the Hydesville Rappings, with our very special guest, psychic medium Celeste Oliver. Now, Celeste has so much to share with us, not only about her own work, but about her family connection to the renowned Fox sisters. We're really going to have a fantastic show. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome my co-hosts. Firstly, Maureen, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you, Steve. And how are you doing?
Extremely well, thank you, Maureen. Excited to speak with Celeste because she's a member of the family. She's actually related to the Fox sisters, so we're going to get a real inside scoop on the family side of the story, which is just incredible.
Those are the best too. And would you like to know what I do?
Not really. Yes, well, Maureen, absolutely.
Dishes and I can clean. I'm well versed in matters of business and career opportunities as well as relationships. I'm an intuitive, psychic, all the clairs going, you know, all this, you can name, you know, all that, okay? But I have, because of my unusual life experience and my vivacious style, I create a unique ambiance for my clients, which will enjoy the reading that I may give them. I work at Psychic Access. You can find me there at psychicaccess.com. And I do take, I'm very proud that I am to say that I am very objective and remarkably I'm objective to all my readings and I don't judge and I can help you help yourselves along the way. There you have it.
Wonderful morning. Thanks. It's always a great pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And I know you do wonderful work.
Thank you.
I'd also like to introduce Sharon. How are you doing, Sharon?
I'm doing great. How are you doing? I'm so excited about tonight.
It's going to be a great show, Sharon.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell us a little about your work?
Sure. I'm a psychic, and I don't use any tools, really. I just hear things from spirit, and I visualize things, like I see things. And I also do work for Psychic Access, and I'm very happy about that.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy to have you with us, Sharon. I know you do fantastic work as well. Now, we also have Jackie with us. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Jackie. Happy to be here. Would you like to tell us a little about your work?
Okay. Yes, I'm also a reader here on PsychicAccess.com, and I work closely with the angelic realm because of the messages that I bring through to my clients, and I always want to make sure I'm really clear and filled with a lot of love and compassion and delivering those messages to them. So, and I'm empathic, so I pick up a lot on other people's feelings and helping them understand and then helping them to, work through it and find a lot of clarity in that. So that's really beneficial, I find. So, and I'm excited to be here tonight.
Wonderful. We're very excited to have you with us, as always, Jackie. And I'll just introduce myself very briefly. My name's Steve Frampton. I also give readings with Psychic Access, and I'm a psychic medium. Now, I want to just tell you a little bit about our fantastic guest this evening, Celeste Oliver. Now, Celeste is actually a psychic medium herself, but she's also a descendant of the Fox sisters. And it was the Fox sisters that were that were intricately involved in the Hydesville wrappings case, which is perhaps the most well-known poltergeist case in the world. I remember when I was a boy in the UK going to spiritualist churches, I was taught about the Hydesville wrappings case because it really was the case that encouraged the development of modern spiritualism. So it's going to be great to get Celeste's perspective on the Fox sisters. Now, Celeste herself specializes in psychometry. She can provide clients with information from objects and photographs, and she can also see her clients' auras. She uses angel oracle cards to intuit the insight and to answer her clients' questions. Now, Celeste's always been aware of her psychic ability, and she discovered last year that she's a natural medium. So she's really excited to continue her spiritual work, and particularly to continue the work started by her ancestors. Now, Celeste had a number of readings where she also seems to tune in particularly well to her clients' homes with just incredible detail. If you'd like to read more information about Celeste and her work, please visit her website. It's www.celesteoliver-thepsychicfox.com. And Celeste can also be contacted for readings and media inquiries by email at thepsychicfox@hotmail.com. That's thepsychicfox@hotmail.com. Now be sure to stay tuned to the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later on, so be sure to have a pen and paper ready. If you're unable to catch our show last week with Dougal Fraser, you'll find a link to the recorded archive, as well as archives for all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just look at the archives tab, you'll find all of the different shows there for you. Now, please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our mission to reach out with our guides and to connect with as many people as possible. So please do include others in the Psychic View show. Now I want to go ahead and welcome our wonderful guest, Celeste. It's a great honor to have you here, Celeste. How are you doing?
Hi, and thank you so much for having me. I'm fine. I'm quite flattered to be here tonight.
Thank you, Celeste. The sound is not so great, Celeste. Can you just speak up a little bit for me?
Okay, I'll make sure to do that. Is that better?
That is a little better, yes.
Okay.
But it's wonderful to have you with us here, Celeste. We're really excited about the show. I know you do wonderful work yourself, but we're also interested to hear about your connection with the Fox sisters. And I wanted to start, Celeste, by asking if you could share a little with our viewers about your background and your spiritual work, which I know is very important to you.
Well, having always, as you said earlier, been psychic, about a year ago, February, I was beginning to think that after a few classes and the results I got from them, that, you know, there's something going on here, and I'd like to learn mediumship, but also to do it under someone who's very proficient and, you know, can guide me properly. To me, that's not something to just fool around with by yourself. So just as I was thinking that, within a week, I got an email saying that Lee Van Zyl of Montclair Metaphysical Healing Center was holding an intensive class one Saturday for mediumship. So I signed up. And it's funny. I mean, she hit us with a lot. I learned a lot that day. She's very, very good. And from my first reading, I just hit the ground running. I mean, I got that this woman's mentor had died of anaphylactic shock after I saw her as a 12-year-old skipping around, you know, being very healthy and happy, but I saw the image of a bee in my mind die, and I just came out and said she died of anaphylactic shock. Well, as it was, she died in her 80s of anaphylactic shock from an allergic reaction to medicine. So Lee standing behind me saying, that's phenomenal. And I thought, okay, there's something going on here. And each reading after that, I just started getting, you know, hits. And I kept it up after that.
for. Well, Celeste, you know, they say that the gift often, the gift normally runs in the family, and you have an incredible family history. I was saying at the beginning of the show, Celeste, when I was a boy in the UK, I used to go to many of the different spiritualist churches to learn about medium and to see mediums in practice. And I remember being told and actually being taught by the spiritualist church about the Fox sisters and the Hydesville wrappings case, because it really was the case that brought about modern spiritualism. So I wanted to ask you, Celeste, at this stage, if you could explain to us your family connection to the Fox sisters.
Well, they were my great-great aunts on my father's side. His mother was Elizabeth Fox Oliver. Her father was Benjamin Franklin Calvin Fox, and his father was David Fox, who was the only brother of the sisters.
Well, that's fantastic. And when did you first learn about your connection to the Fox sisters, Celeste?
Oh, I guess I was about 8 or 9. Dad mentioned at one time that we had aunts that started modern spiritualism in the United States, and I didn't pay too much attention. And I was thinking a few minutes ago, actually, why would he have said that to me? Maybe it was after I had done or said something that might have sparked in him the recognition that I had a gift also. So if I saw them mentioned in a book here or there, I'd buy it for him. I thought he was more interested in that. I've always been interested as a child in different rocks. You know, I could go out and whack them open with a hammer just to see what was inside. You know, and now I have quite a collection of different stones. As a teenager, I started getting interested in astrology, natural healing, you know, with herbs and doing things naturally. So I realized later on, after I took leave class, that things that had happened to me through the years that were mediumistic actually were part of this. You know, I just didn't recognize it at the time. I chalked it up to being psychic. But one time in New York, after my grandfather died, my dad's father in Queens, my mother is standing there with me at the church looking at him and his two sisters thinking, oh, I have two brothers. I'm so lucky to have two brothers left, Uncle Ed and Uncle George. So she and I are in the car in a different limo from my dad going to the cemetery, you know, to bury my grandfather. And all of a sudden in my head, I kept getting Uncle Ed and Uncle George, Uncle Ed, Uncle George. We go back to the house and the phone rings and my Aunt Babe says to her, oh, Lillian, you have a phone call from your sister-in-law, Virginia, in Rockville Center. And Mom comes out a few minutes later and says, oh, Virginia read about Gus in the newspaper and called to say so sorry, but Uncle Ed dropped dead in the dining room this morning of a heart attack.
Wow, so you were connecting with him, and so you have wonderful gifts, Celeste. Now, I remember being told that the Hydesville wrappings case was very much at the beginning a poltergeist case, and I wondered if you could perhaps explain to us a little bit about what happened with this poltergeist and your great aunts, and perhaps, you know, help our listeners understand how a poltergeist actually manifests itself.
Well, a poltergeist is from a German word meaning noisy ghost, and they seem to manifest around teenage-age children. Don't know why. Maybe it's because they have an energy that a very, very young child, a five-year-old, doesn't have, or an adult doesn't have, but a lot seems to start around teenage children, and they were 13 and 11 at the time, Maggie being the older one. And they were renting a house. Their father was actually renting the cottage in Hydesville when this all started, but other tenants years before noticed it too and just left the place right away. They were having a house built near Brother David's farm a couple of miles away. So in December of 1847, they started to rent the house, and then by March, the noise just became so unbearable, and the girls finally said, all right, you know, do like I do, and would knock three times, and then all of a sudden they heard three raps coming back. So that's how the whole rapping started, because the spirit realized they were paying attention to him. Someone was finally listening. It was determined later through a code of yes, no, and then the alphabet that he had been a peddler. And back in those days, if a woman needed threads or needles and some, you know, the protector's thimble, excuse me, you know, lace, things like that, you just went around from town to town. So nobody really knew him, because it has been written that at the time nobody could verify his name, which was Charles B. Rosema. So they determined that he had been murdered in the house 5 years earlier. Other people didn't stick around long enough to figure out what had happened and why this restless spirit is making all this noise. And the girls finally hit on it. Now, their mother, who is the one that they got their gift from on her side of the family, she also would say, all right, how many children do I have? And it would rap out six. What are their ages? And it would rap out the numbers. And then the neighbors came in and would ask questions. And then it just spread from there. So that really was, I can understand why it would be a classic poltergeist case, because it was the start of people knowingly communicating with someone who had passed.
And getting such specific, asking such specific questions and getting such correct answers, you know, asking how many children do I have and receiving the response six is just fascinating. And I know that they and the neighbors asked a lot of questions. Now, I read in preparation for our interview, I read a book called Talking to the Dead by Weisberg, Barbara Weisberg. And I know that you're in contact with Barbara Weisberg and many other people that are interested in the Hydesville rappings and the Fox sisters, Celeste. And I read about Mr. Splitfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to tell us about Mr. Splitfoot?
Well, that night, March 31st, 1848, Kathy said, Mr. Splitfoot, do like I do, and would rap three times and then heard the three raps in response. In those days, Mr. Splitfoot was another name for the devil. Why the heck she would say that, I don't know. But she got the response. But as we figured later, it was not the devil, it was his poor murdered peddler.
So it wasn't Mr. Splitfoot, it was Charles B. Rosema. Right. It's fascinating because I remember, Celeste, when I was in my early teens, we had some family friends that had dreadful problems, poltergeist problems in their home, and it turned out that there had been a builder living in that home, and he'd been murdered as well. So I'm interested to research a little more in the next couple of weeks whether particularly people that have been murdered manifest as poltergeists, because it's a very disturbed energy. And I know that that the girls were disturbed to begin with. Now, they also had a sister called Leah, if my memory serves me correct, Celeste.
Yeah, she was the oldest in the family.
And do you know how she reacted to the case, whether she was living in the home at the time and whether she also experienced the poltergeist, or Charles Rosema, we should give him use his name, I guess.
Yeah. No, she was living in Rochester at the time. She had a daughter, a teenage daughter. She married at 14. Well, we're talking the 1830s at that point or earlier. She was 23 years older than the girls. There was essentially two families. You also had sisters Maria and Elizabeth, who married and lived in Canada. And actually, Kate and Maggie were born in Canada. The family bopped back and forth between Canada and New York State. And Leah had married, as I said, had a daughter very early on. Then the husband left. Her name at that point was Mrs. Fish. So she gave piano lessons in Rochester. And it's funny how there are a number of keyboardists in the family. I have a cousin now who, so far, all her life has played church organ. since she graduated university, and we had a cousin, my dad's cousin, who played the same in the same church in her town in Connecticut for 62 years. So she's giving these lessons, and someone had seen something in the paper and contacted her and said, "This is going on at your family's house down in Hinesville. Were you aware of that?" And she's like, "Holy cow, no, I have to go check it out." So she could hear for herself what was going on. She actually brought the one sister, Maggie, back with her and separated the girls, and yet the knocking still happened. So it's not like the two, you know, youngest were in collusion and, you know, causing, you know, something fake to go on, although they were always accused of fraud. And I was starting to say about the family being essentially two families. You had Leah, Maria, Elizabeth, and David. And then the father disappeared for 10 years and became then, later on, a recovered alcoholic. And then when he and Margaret got back together, they had Maggie and Kate.
Wow, it was pretty, quite a big family.
And
do you know, I'm fascinated to ask you, Celeste, how did they actually identify or confirm that the spirit communicating was Charles B. Rosmer? Did they actually find his remains?
Well, it's funny you ask, because David and some of the neighbors started digging in the cellar, and there was a creek nearby, so the water table was high. It seems they did find what I would determine to be a piece of skull with some hair, another bone fragment, and then they hit water, and they had to stop digging. Years later, in 1904, 2 years after David died, he lived the longest, a cellar wall collapsed, and there were the remains of a skeleton and the peddler's box, which I saw for myself up at Lilydale in New York about 8-9 years ago.
Wow, and how did you, how did you feel when you saw the, having read about your family history and about the this case, how did you feel when you were actually standing in front of the peddler's box?
Well, it was very, how can I say otherworldly, you know, because there's a photograph of my cousin Jean and I holding what was considered to be the family Bible, you know, right next to the peddler's box. That was all that they could get out of the house, the cottage, which had been moved to Lilydale and burned down mysteriously in 1956. They were suspecting arson. Why someone would do that, I don't know. But they did retrieve a Bible and the peddler's box. And it was just such a piece of history. You know, I would love to go back. I have every intention of going back someday, and I would like to actually hold the box more and see what energies I get from it.
Well, that would be just fascinating, wouldn't it, to go back and hold it and just see what you sense, because I know that you're obviously a psychic medium, so it would be wonderful to see how you feel and to just see how that plays out. Now, obviously, Celeste, the two girls, the Faulkner sisters, were clearly mediums. How did the story progress beyond the situation with the poltergeist and the Hinesville wrappings? I know that they went on to do a lot of public demonstrations of mediumship, but I wondered if you could tell us where the story goes and exactly what happened later in their lives as they grew up and became adults.
Well, initially, they were taken up to Rochester and then giving public demonstrations at the hall there, the largest building in Rochester. They were examined by committees of men and then later women, and really quite upset about it because everyone thought they were making these noises themselves by cracking toe joints or knee joints. I don't see how anyone can do something like that consistently and have it sound like it's coming from different parts of the room or another room. So they might have maybe done something initially to, the story was, maybe fool their mother. But I don't know. It just, doesn't make sense to me, because they obviously were mediums. You know, they were very powerful mediums. Their sister Leia eventually gave up giving music lessons and became their manager as well as a medium herself. And later on in her life, she wrote the book, The Missing Link in Modern Spiritualism, which one can download for free from Google. Luckily, Google digitized it, and I have a PDF copy of it on my computer. And it's great. It's 513 pages. She has so much to tell. So wow. Leia acted as their manager, and their mother also came along, leaving the father behind in Hydesville with David. And she was their chaperone. And then after they passed all their examinations and tests by the public, they went to New York City. And the first person that called to them was none other but Horace Greeley, the editor of the New York Tribune.
So she contacted them.
Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
I'm not sure I understood. What was the connection there with the New York Tribune?
Well, Horace Greeley, he was a very famous editor at the time. The newspaper, of course, was a very influential one in the 1850s. Like I said, in 1851, they went to New York City, and he met them, just was amazed that they were such young girls. You know, Kate and Maggie were just young teenagers and able to do this. And after meeting with them, he wrote in the paper about them, and then the word started to spread. They had become friends with a number of influential people of the time in American history, like Harriet Beecher Stowe, Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, Quaker activists Isaac and Amy Post, Horace Greeley, James Fenimore Cooper. You know, they met a lot of people and were quite well known, you know, especially after the word got out with the newspaper. And then there were telegraphs at the time, too.
And I, it must have been a huge amount of pressure for two young girls, Celeste. You know, when you were talking about the accusations that they were clicking their joints or their toes, you know, I was thinking about some of the physical mediums that I learned about as a child in the UK. You know, people that would physically manifest spirit with ectoplasm, and there were always accusations that they were regurgitating sponge cloths and just ridiculous things like that that would be practically impossible. And I remember as a child we discovered our home was built on top of a burial ground in North Wales, and we had a lot of poltergeist activity, and some of the sounds that would wrap right through the house, I mean literally from one end of the house to the other, across and through walls, They were just incredible. There's no way that anybody could have been making those sounds by clicking their toes or their fingers. And, you know, but I think of the work that we do now. So you're a psychic medium. I work as a psychic medium as well. And our co-hosts are all doing intuitive counseling in some shape or form. And sometimes, you know, we meet people who doubt what our work now, but I think back to the Fox sisters. They must have been under a lot of pressure, a huge amount of pressure, not only the pressure of being so well known at their age, but the pressure of doing something so unusual and having to deal with all of the accusations. How did that play out? What problems did it cause for them as they grew up?
Well, their mother, as I said, was always their chaperone, and Leia was there also, you know, quite a bit. So people left being impressed by their mother, who was a very earthy, down-to-earth woman, no-nonsense, very congenial, but they knew they're not going to get away with trying to do anything because Mama's here, you know. And I think from everything I've read, they were rather calm about what they did. Sure, they were scared initially, and at one point they were really ready to give it up, and they got a message that, no, we are through you proclaiming a new point in modern man's growth. You know, this is your work. We need you to continue this. And so they did. Maggie especially was always said to be just very, very calm, you know, very graceful. And I think because they were so good at it, they weren't nervous about it. It was something that was happening. And as I said, they always had somebody there, always a chaperone. And even though they would hold hands with strangers in a darkened room, which was, you know, a little different at that time, you know, in the 1850s, 1860s, there was really no hint of scandal ever about them because of that. You know, everything was always on the up and up, and people left, you know, very impressed with them. When Maggie and her mother went to Philadelphia in 1852, that's where she met Dr. Elijah Kent Kane, who was a renowned physician and Arctic explorer. He was about the most famous person in the country at the time. And he went with some friends, almost on a lark, and then started going back on his own because he started falling in love with Maggie. And here's a simple country girl that just seemed so sure of herself. And at 17, and he was about 13 years older, he didn't know, really, you know, he'd never met anybody quite like that. So pressure-wise, though, the girls, I think, I wouldn't say that they dealt with any pressure by accepting gifts of champagne from people, but that's what they started receiving, champagne and brandy. So that did not help, considering that their father had been a recovered alcoholic. And they later in their 20s, in their late 20s, developed a drinking problem of their own, which in the end caused the ill health that killed them.
And what age did they pass the spirit, Celeste?
About the age I'm at now. And it occurred to me recently, you know, I thought they were older, but no, they were only in their mid-50s. And I'll admit, I'll be 57 on June 14th, although nobody guesses my age, and I certainly don't feel it. And I thought, you know, it's funny, I'm at the age now where I'm starting this that they were when they passed, and it's like I'm meant to continue that cycle, that life cycle, to carry it on. You know,
and absolutely, and it's fascinating, really, isn't it, to think that you can almost pick up where they left off at that,
right,
that same age. Now, Celeste, how does the family feel about the family history? So, is everybody excited to talk about the connection with the Fox sisters?
Well, I have. Let me see. I have one cousin who is a nurse and thinks that, oh, because she's a nurse and everything has to be scientifically proven, she doesn't look at it seriously. And I told her, I said, Barbara, if I pass before you, I'm going to whack you on the head 3 times and you're going to know it's me. Okay? Well, then you'll believe. She says, all right, at that point I'll believe. Whereas my cousin Nancy, her sister, has... She believes in it, and she told me when her father, my Uncle Mike, had passed, she spoke with them several times in her room afterwards. She totally believes, as does their brother Stephen. I have other relatives who they think it's kind of interesting, but they don't really believe. You know, they're the ones you have to whack on the head. My aunt Faye now, when I saw her a couple of months ago, now baby's 88, and I asked her if she had known Grandma's father, because apparently he was psychic himself. The word is that he was born with the amniotic sac, the caul, over his face, as was Katie's first son, Ferdinand, years, you know, before. But she said, no, both sets of grandparents had passed before she was born, but she just said, ah, they were frauds. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not getting anywhere here. My great-aunt, Florence, Grandma's youngest sister, when she was living in Seattle, and I saw her years ago, I asked her one time when I was starting to get a renewed interest in the sisters, I said, Florence, hey, what can you tell me about the Fox sisters? No, stop, no, I don't want to talk about them, no. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm onto something here. And apparently my grandmother wouldn't talk about them because they were the family scandal. You know, when Maggie recanted in 1888, which was done to get back at Leah, you know, I looked pretty foolish at the time. And, you know, my grandmother and my Aunt Florence were born at the time that that happened, and they grew up hearing about it, and they were probably, you know, quite mortified.
Well, you read my mind, Celeste. We're about to take a short commercial break, Celeste, but when we come back, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Maggie's recantation. So we'll pick up with that just after this short commercial break.
Great.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Well, welcome back, Celeste. I'm excited to continue the conversation and to learn all about your personal experience of the family. And I know that you've read a huge amount as well about the Fox sisters, and you regularly speak to writers and journalists because you just have so much knowledge. I wanted to ask a little bit
more
about the recantation. Celeste, I do remember reading that Maggie actually changed her story later in life, although she then reaffirmed later on that the case was absolutely genuine, and she confirmed her faith in spirits. But could you tell us a little bit about why she was driven to say that it wasn't genuine?
Well, Kate had gone to England in 1870-72 and made a great marriage with a wonderful gentleman, what you call a barrister, what we call a lawyer, Henry Jenkin, who was German background. And she had two sons with him. And then, unfortunately, after 9 years of marriage, he passed away. And she comes back to New York. Now, her son Ferdinand, whom I referred to earlier, he was considered a child phenomenon in England, and you may have read or heard about him. At 5 months old, he could write in Greek and wrote a message, a spirit message, I am proud of his mama, I love this baby so, you know, words to that effect, which just, you know, surprised everybody like crazy. So, and he was born with the amniotic sac also. But when she came back to New York, things were a little tough. She was doing readings, but Leah, and they think it was mainly her, but it also could have been some other mediums that were jealous of them, tried to say that because of the drinking problem, which was on and off, that she was an unfit mother, and tried to have the boys taken away, which they were not. And Maggie was falling on some hard times and was promised $1,500 if she would go and recant it. They did it to spite Leah because she had married for the third time, had married quite well to an insurance owner, a business owner, Daniel Underhill, and she did quite well for herself through the years. Now, she never had a drinking problem, and she would do her readings, but she was also, you know, a bit of a socialite. So here they are, just coping with the curse of alcoholism, doing their readings, struggling financially, and it was just too tempting to turn down. So that's what Maggie did, and Kate was in the audience, so she was deemed to be complicit with it. later on, after about a year, Maggie said, no, you know, I'm sorry, we did it just to spite Leah. It's all very true. So now you can understand why the family didn't want to talk about it.
Well, the sound is breaking up a little bit, Celeste. Can you still hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Okay, the sound just broke up a little bit there, Celeste. Well, Celeste, you know, you have so much knowledge. I know that this is not a question that I mentioned to you in advance, so forgive me, but it just came to me, you know, that I'm sure you could write an incredible book about the. Is that something that you've considered?
Well, I don't know how I could really write anything different than has been written already. As I said, Leah had written her own book that anyone can download from Google, The Missing Link in Modern Spiritualism. You referred earlier to Barbara Weisberg's book, Talking to the Dead, and I had met her one day at the Historical Society in Philadelphia to do some research for Elijah Ken Cain. And my cousin Barbara and I had seen her in New York afterwards, after her book was published, when she was given a talk about it. And I lost her email. I had switched providers. And it's funny, but just a couple of weeks ago, actually for a little while, I was thinking, oh, I should get in touch with her and let her know what's been happening with me. I think she'd find it interesting, considering the book. And I found her name on another website. She had given a talk last December. I emailed Marin Jose, and I said, please forward my email to Barbara Weisberg. I'm sure you have her email. She said then, I get an email response last week from Barbara saying that she had just been speaking with Leslie Price of the Psychical Research Organization in London, asking if she knew of any descendants of the Fox sisters. And she said, yes, she had met me, you know, when doing her book, and we lost contact. And then that morning, my email shows up. And between your phone call and that, I'm like, holy cow, this is a heck of a week. So Barbara and I are back in touch, and we plan to meet in New York City one day. So her book is also very informative, and what I liked about it was that she really left it to the reader to draw their own conclusion. And there is a book which is out of print, but I did get it from a website that deals with out-of-print books. And it's written by an in-law, a Fox in-law, and it's called Time is Kind, The Story of the Unfortunate Fox Family by Miriam Buckner Pond. And that has quite a bit in it, and little family tidbits of the history of their own psychic abilities. Now, in 2005, after Barbara's book was published in 2004, there was a book published called The Reluctant Spiritualist, The Life of Maggie Fox, by Nancy Rubin Stewart, which I read and also liked. So there's quite a bit out there already. I don't know how I can add to it. I have ideas for other books I would like to do on my own someday, but I don't want to give away my ideas right now. There would be more coffee table books.
Hey, Celeste, it's Jackie. I'll just jump in. We might have got disconnected with Steve, so.
Yeah.
So tell us a little more about these coffee table books.
Just some ideas that, you know, I've been kicking around that if I ever have some free time, you know, things with photographs I want to do, you know, because I am very big into photography.
Right. Now, will this be, so this will be sort of your personal book, or will this be, you know, sort of incorporating the Fox sisters and that journey and things of that nature?
No, I hadn't thought of that. You know, I've been kicking around the ideas for, you know, 10 years or so. But now that you just said that, something's coming to mind where, you know, that could be another subject, but again, incorporating photography.
Right. Well, you know, I'm not putting words in your mouth, of course, so, you know, you don't have to give all your secrets away, but, you know, being that link there, it's awesome, you know, to be able to share that with others.
One thing,
thank you for
say,
helping out there, Jackie. I was disconnected from Skype. I'm just glad that connected because I'm having problems with the call.
I can hear you. There's always a delay when I stop talking till when I hear you.
Apologies about that, Celeste. Mercury's in retrograde, and we always blame any technical problems on Mercury. we'll perform the call on Skype, and sometimes we do have some issues. So, Celeste, can you tell us a little bit more now about what you have planned for this year? I know that you're working hard. What's your plan, and what can our listeners look forward to?
Well, I was just up at a psychic fair in Quakertown, Pennsylvania last weekend, and a man came by and handed me a little flyer and invited me to the New Hope Metaphysical Show, June 18th and 19th, up in New Hope, Pennsylvania, which is about 25 minutes north of me. New Hope is considered one of the most haunted towns in the country. So for me to be invited to be to that show, I'm very flattered. And I just sent off the contract today, in fact. I just look forward to doing other shows. I want to really push myself with my own abilities and the detail that I get. And I want to see about meeting a friend who is a corrections officer in New Jersey and looking at photographs of inmates or holding some items that, you know, they've gotten and seeing what I pick up there, because I feel with my abilities to get into buildings that I would be able to perhaps work with the police someday.
Well, that's wonderful, Celeste. It's very exciting. So you do, when you're working with spirit, you do see buildings and the inside of buildings through remote viewing. I remember you mentioning that to me when we spoke on the telephone yesterday. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Didn't you see, I think you said you were reading for a client and you were saying to her that there was a door in a particular part of the house, and she said, "Oh no, there isn't." And then it turned out that there had been a door, but it had been boarded up and plastered.
Right. It was, in fact, it was the first reading I did in public last year. It wasn't a psychic fair, but it was a fundraiser for a very, very old historic house just about a mile from me. It's called Bolton Mansion in Levittown, Pennsylvania, and Phineas Pemberton had been someone who worked for William Penn at the time, founder of Pennsylvania. So Bolton Mansion is over 300 years old, and it's haunted itself. So I went there to help raise money, you know, for the restoration. And these two young girls come by, and one's in her early 20s. And I gathered it was her cousin was the younger one standing there. And I kept hitting on things that really pertained to the younger cousin. So I told her, "Look, sit down, let me read you." Well, immediately I see her grandmother standing behind her. And you understand what I'm going to say, where it's like you see someone, but you don't see them. They're in your mind's eye, and yet you look at the person across from you, and yet you see someone there, but they're not there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I started telling her about her grandmother and about things, you know, herself with school and such. And I said, "You have a photograph of you and your grandmother on your dresser in your bedroom." She goes, "I do, from when I was 4 years old." Now, at that point, the girl was 14. And I started then immediately seeing her bedroom. And I described the layout of it. And I said, "The head of the bed is against the wall and the windows are across the way." She goes, "Yes, they are." And I said, "The photograph is on a dresser to the left of the bed." She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Your closet is on the right." She goes, "No, it's not." I said, "There's a door there." She goes, "No, there isn't." I said, "Really? I keep seeing a door there. Your closet's not there?" She goes, "No, it's not on that wall. There's nothing there." Well, then the older girl is sitting waiting for her, and she hears that, and she goes, "Oh, yeah, there used to be a door there years ago before they remodeled the house." And I'm like, "Holy cow, now that's something the police would want to know." So then it got me to thinking. And then other readings I had done, someone who is in New York and is also a psychic medium herself, Melissa Stamps, I was in her aura one time doing a reading for her when I met her last July in New York, and I'm getting her apartment and what it looks like on the outside, and she's the one that really put into my head saying, you know, you really ought to work with the police.
Sounds like a great idea, Celeste. You're very gifted, and I wanted to ask you as well, is anybody else in the family gifted? Do other members of the family also have the gift of working with spirit?
Well, my niece Kara out in Colorado, my oldest brother Keith's daughter, and Kara's about 32 now, apparently she has, like I do, a lot of dreams that come true. And her mother told her a couple of years ago about the Fox sisters. And when I saw Kara last year, when she had been east, I gave her a copy of Talking to the Dead. And I said, here, you need to start reading up on what's going on in the family and develop your own abilities. So it's something I'm encouraging her to do. But right now she owns a boutique with her mother in Louisville, Colorado, and she's very busy with that. But I feel that it would be good for her to take classes and see if she can do the mediumship as well, which I really don't doubt that she will.
Fantastic.
She's the only other
well,
one
that's wonderful,
I'm
Celeste.
Of,
and I wanted to thank you, Celeste. I mean, you've shared so much information with us, and you know, we choose a different subject each week on the radio show. But it's just wonderful to have a guest who has personal experience of such a fascinating family and an incredible story. Do you receive many inquiries from people that are having problems with poltergeists, Celeste?
No, I haven't, although maybe you're going to give out some ideas there.
Maybe your Hotmail account will be full tomorrow. And I often get inquiries about poltergeist activity, and it's just wonderful to be able to help people, and to particularly to help children and teenagers understand their own gifts. I am meeting a boy on Saturday. He's 13 or 14, and he's having similar problems. Lots of noises and disturbance in the house, and it is surprising that it's particularly that age when adolescents are hormonal. It seems to be at that age that they can have problems with poltergeist activity. And my personal view is that it's particularly children that have very strong energy and a very strong connection with the spirit world that can be drawn upon.
I was going to say that I think it's something with the energy at that age just attracts them.
Yeah. Did you have any experiences when you were a teenager, Celeste? Did you have any problems with poltergeist activity at all?
No, not at all. Not me. I've read about it, of course, but nothing personally that I can relate to a poltergeist activity, no.
Well, you've been absolutely fascinating to talk to, Celeste, and
well, thank you.
We were very excited to have you on the show, and I know that you do lots of wonderful work. We'll be watching looking out for your website and watching the work that you do, and particularly if you have the opportunity to work with the police, that would be wonderful. You're really talented, and we're absolutely ecstatic to have had you with us this evening, Celeste, and very grateful that you took the time to share your story with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Steve, and thanks to Jackie Hahn also for recommending me to you. I do
Absolutely.
Just want to say one thing for anyone who's listening. If anyone is aware of a relative of Dr. Elijah Kent Kane of Philadelphia, please have them get in touch with me at thepsychicfox@hotmail.com. I would love to meet them.
Wonderful. Well, hopefully that will happen, Celeste. And thank you once again, Celeste. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you with us this evening.
Same here. Thank you so much, Steve. Take care.
Thank you, Celeste, and good luck with your work. Now, if you'd like to find out more information about Celeste, you can see her website, which is celesteoliver-thepsychicfox.com. And do remember that you can read more about Celeste and all of our guests on our webpage, psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Please do be sure to visit our blogging website, psychicbloggers.com. It's a great site. All of the psychics and intuitives that work on psychicaccess.com contribute blogs to psychicbloggers.com. And there's just so much information, from reincarnation to crystals, past life experiences, all kinds of things. And if you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the internet, please go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our psychics are accuracy tested and verified. They each have their own unique gifts. You can also read detailed profiles about our psychics on the website, so you can learn more about them and choose the psychic that you feel a connection with and get a reading, get some insight for yourselves. And I know that from speaking to lots of different psychics around the world, the people that work with Psychic Access always say that it's a site that has very high standards. It's certainly a site that I enjoy belonging to. I couldn't imagine life without Psychic Access, and our wonderful clients as well. It really is a great website with wonderful integrity. You'll also find all of the co-hosts here on the Psychic Access Talk Radio show on psychicaccess.com. So if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please do be sure to visit us. We'd be more than happy to hear from you and honored to read for you. Now, if you're a site owner or a webmaster, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading for traffic that is referred from your website to psychicaccess.com. And if you'd like more information about that excellent offer, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And as I said at the beginning of the show, if you like our show, please invite your friends and family to join us. They can join the chat room and also listen to us online. There really is something for everybody, so please do spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Now, we'll be having our interaction amongst the co-hosts in a moment, and I will give you the telephone number now for the free reading so that you can call in. And that number is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you. It's 724-444-4851. So do call in. When you do get through, you will not be greeted by an individual. You'll simply be connected to the show. You can relax and continue listening to the show, and we will then put you through to the show in order so that you can receive your reading. Now, Maureen, I wanted to ask you about poltergeist activity, and particularly the causes of poltergeist activity. Can you share your thoughts with us on that subject?
Yes, I can, Steve. I hope I was having some technical difficulties, and I hope everybody can hear me now.
We can hear you perfectly, Maureen.
Okay, yes, I do. And this is my take on it. Poltergeist activity is fairly common. It's a common paranormal phenomena and experienced all over the world. But there are spirited generated poltergeists, and I'm not saying I don't believe, I'm sure there are. And, you know, as I didn't get to hear the interview because I was having some problems, as you know, but some are created by violent or angry deaths of a person or places that mark the area where death occurred. Like, you know, everything is embedded in, I think, in the walls of everything from the past. But also, some believe that poltergeists can be caused by a person's pent-up mental frustrations, illness, being released on objects. And this is PK activity. And, you know, my stuff on PK that's my thing. Was my torment when I was getting, you know, 20 years ago, which is, if anybody doesn't know, is like mind over matter, but mine was spontaneous. But it's resulting in a release of psychic energy. So mental poltergeist activity can result in a shaking bed, moving objects, or other very frightening events. And somebody in the chat room I was talking to remembered right now their home as well, and I had the same experience. So for me, the PK psychokinetic, which was not a con- It was fun. It was not something I was making happen, I didn't think, but it was pretty intense. So I did bring in a psychic during that time, and I thought I had some demons of some sort going on in there. And it turned out it wasn't, because then I went to UCLA and they did some research on me to probe me. But like I've always said, all I know is what I know, and I've never experienced a poltergeist that would come from spirit, maybe, or an angry, but I have definitely my PK, the poltergeist, if you're going to look at poltergeist there, yes. So there's two looks at, and you know, also the Ryan Center, the poltergeist effect. They've done a lot of research, as you know. I'm in the Ryan Center. You've become into that too, Steve. So they really feel a single person called the agent, or they can focus, and they can actually, they've done research to have a poltergeist effect in the form of a poltergeist, psychokinetic generated by a human being mind that is an agent. So they get the same effect as an actual poltergeist on a spirit. Do you follow me?
Absolutely, absolutely. As I said earlier in the show, Maureen, we had a lot of problems with poltergeist activity in my family home when I was a kid, and particularly actually when my sister was in her early adolescence. We'd had a lot of banging and disruption in the house. It was quite scary when it happened, but I look back and it was just fascinating, really.
Well, you know, they say a lot of children will be the, you know, and I had it since I was a little girl, and things would, well, I'm not going to go into that all the time, but poltergeist also from, well, like I said, I all I know is what I know, and I do know that I could say without a doubt there's imprints of remnants of energies that are left behind and homes that are from built way back and stuff. But children will always usually be the ones that really pick up the poltergeist. I mean, unfortunately I didn't hear the guest interview. I'm sure she spoke about that maybe, but it's pretty interesting. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Celeste was explaining that it was when the girls were in their early teens. I think she said that one was 11 and the other was 13 or 14. That's when the rappings began. So there's definitely a connection between poltergeist activity and adolescence. I remember did a blog on Psychic Bloggers about the Enfield poltergeist, which is it's an incredibly famous poltergeist case in the UK. I mean, it was all over the headlines of the newspapers in the mid-70s. I think it was 75 or 76. Again, two girls in their adolescence, and the guy that wrote about that a lot, I think his name was Guy Lyon Playfair, or Guy Leon Playfair, and he said that very often, or more often than not, poltergeist activity is associated with adolescence.
Yeah, puberty, and that's exactly right, because it's a lot of, because of our, and that's actually, mine started when I was really young, but when I became a teenager, everything was kind of happening. Like I said, I don't know if it was spirit, but I think mine was about my energy, having that.
Yeah, and I think that when kids are spiritual and they have strong psychic energy, they don't necessarily know how to control it. You know, as adults with psychic ability and that connection with spirit, we learn how to manage it, just as we learn how to put boundaries in place in life generally and in relationships. But kids don't know how to do that, and no. I often think that's part of the issue.
That's why we're doing shows like the psychic kids nowadays and everything else. They can handle it. It's truly true.
Absolutely. Well, Sharon, now, you were once at in a spiritualist community in Indiana and experienced something in the museum when you were reading about the Fox Sisters. Can you share with us what happened?
Okay. It's really fun there. They have like a whole museum, and it's like you're going back in time. And I got up really early, and nobody was up, and I was kind of walking around there. And I could swear people were with me. Like when I was reading about it, I felt like I could almost smell them, you know? Like I felt like they were with me. It was really exciting for me. you could almost go back in time. It was like, I don't know if you've ever been to that one, but it was, it was really neat. So
I haven't been to that one, but I did used to go and do some courses at the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Studies in Stansted, the UK, and they have a small, very small museum. It's a display of different artifacts, but they also have some apports. So, you know, when Spirit would actually gift something to the group in a seance, and right. an item would physically manifest. They call it an apport, I'm sure you know. Mm-hmm. But they actually have a display of apports that appeared in seances. And those are wow. on display at the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Studies. And that was just amazing to stand there and look at those items and think, gosh, it just blows your mind.
What type of things were they? Like that was apported.
There was a ball of some kind, and there were just a number of items. I can't remember exactly, but I should think it's on the internet, Sharon. So for any of our listeners that want to look it up, there may well be pictures on the internet. The Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Studies also has a great website. It's the home really now of spiritualism, or the Spiritualist National Union in the UK. There's a lot going there. It's a magical place.
Oh,
it really
feels
is.
Great.
If you get to visit, you should go. Or maybe we should do a field trip sometime.
That'd be fun. We'll do the show from there.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be wonderful. Perhaps we'll do that sometime. Now, Jackie, what I wanted to ask you, do you have any poltergeist experiences or any unusual activities in your home?
Yes, I have, and I wouldn't say it's poltergeist per se, but I have this lamp that I have in my living room. Well, it's in my son's room now. It's one of those ceiling lamps, so it's kind of tall, and then the light reflects on the ceiling. And the darn thing is always flickering, and it's just, I get amazed by it because it doesn't do it right away, and I know it's not the bulbs. You know, I sort of checked the practical things about it, but I do feel that there is a connection to me and my family, because when I had moved last year, you know, I was taking pictures of the house because I did some painting and such, and there was orbs all over the place. So actually, we have to put that as a topic for a show, perhaps, around orbs. And I really felt strongly that when I moved, those orbs, I don't know what they were, you know, came with me, and I do feel that they communicate, you know, through the light, or let their presence be known that they're there. But it's nothing scary. I don't feel worried about it. I personally get a kick out of these things. I think it's really cool. You know, that's just me. I'm kind of kooky that way. But I think it's great. You know, as long as we're, you know, in that place of, okay, hey, what's going on? Is there, you know, is there something you know, want me to notice? Or, you know, I communicate with whatever it is that's going on or seems unusual, I immediately address it, and then I'm already in that place of being open to whatever comes through. So I think, you know, it's sort of like when people are afraid, you know, you face the fear, you know, and not that I was afraid, but I think the minute you identify it, you know, it reminds me of that movie, The Sixth Sense, you know, that little boy was running away from all the disturbing images, but when he finally is like, what can I do? What is it you need? And then all of a sudden, the whole thing shifted. So, not that I see any of that kind of stuff, but you know what I'm saying? It's when we open ourselves to it and say, okay, I get it. What is it here? You know, what is this about? You know, and that's what it is. It's about bridging the two worlds and making that connection to, you know, to the other side. And I really believe they're always trying to get in touch with us, whether it's spirits or people that have, you know, passed, you know, that they want to communicate with us as much as we want with them. And I know John Holland had mentioned that, you know, as part of his sort of calling card, but that's my long story.
No, it's great, Jackie. You always tell great stories, and it's wonderful to hear personal stories. You know, I think that having Celeste on the show and her hearing about her personal experience of the family and stories of different relatives is absolutely fascinating. And to hear, you know, your stories as well is just wonderful. We all have experiences, and it's great to share them. And it's interesting that you mentioned lights. I often notice the lights go dim when, or just cut out completely when spirit want to confirm something that's being said in a reading. So when I read for clients face to face, often the lights just go down at a very poignant moment in the reading, and it's, again, it's a confirmation that we're surrounded by spirit, that we're supported, that we're loved, and that they can give us guidance and confirmation when we ask questions.
Yeah, and you know, that's sort of an easy way for them to, you know, manipulate the energy and electricity, and I feel like that communication is accessible to them rather than, I mean, again, I don't know, but I feel like that's a very noticeable and easy way, you know, to get in touch with us, is sort of, you know, making the kind of the electronics get all crazy, because now that we're ironically in such a high techie world that, you know, we'll notice it because we're always plugged in, tuned in, you know, tapped on to something at some point in time, that if we don't have that, it's almost like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, like we had a little setback on the show this evening, but, you know, it's funny, retrograde or not, I really believe, you know, everything happens for a reason, and you know, maybe that was just a little breather, who knows?
Well, you know, I used to, when I first started doing the shows, I used to get stressed if anything like that went wrong, but actually I like it now because it makes it real, you know.
Right.
Things don't always run perfectly. We're real people working with right. technical issues, and it doesn't worry me, and thank you for stepping in. I know that you are connected with Celeste, and you know, just recommending her for the show as well was wonderful, Jackie. You're a great help. Okay, so Maureen, I wanted to ask you about the Rosenheim poltergeist. I know that you have quite a lot of information about that case. Can you share that with our listeners, please?
Yes, this is again goes along with psychokinetics because it's close to my heart or my brain or my stress. And I'd like to bring up something about the lighting. I have recently, it was just funny, because just last night, recently, I always have stuff going on like that, too. And, like, you know, always have. And light bulbs break in my hand or blah, blah, blah. But there's a lamp here. And, you know, how I don't talk about, I have guides or, you know, like I said, I just get stuff in my heart, whatever. But my lighting, this one lighting has been going really weird since, I don't know, since 2 o'clock this morning. This one particular one, and when you and Jackie were talking about that, it started doing a little twickering thing. No other lights are doing it, but, and the light bulb's fine. I've checked, you know, it's perfectly in there. Just thought I'd add that, but, so anyway, so thanks you guys for doing that over here in California, but to me. Anyways, Rosenheim poltergeist case has become world famous, mainly due to the fact that it was witnessed and investigated by so many different people. And this was in the 60s. So the case was centered around an 18-year-old secretary called Anne Marie Schneider, I think is her name. This is in Germany, by the way, who worked at a lawyer's office in the town of Rosenheim in Germany. Yeah. And severe poltergeist activity began in 1967 and continued for almost 2 years. So the office workers became extremely concerned when electrical and telephone systems, this is really trippy, appeared to be subject to a great deal of interference. Light bulbs would flicker and brighten. Some bulbs would twist out of the socket, apparently of their own accord, and fall to the floor. Others would smash despite the fact that they were switched off. And technicians were called in to check into the electrical systems in the office, and they discovered that massive surges of electricity were coming into the building intermediately. So the telephone, this is really interesting, telephone bills became very high. Documents produced by the telephone company suggested that the speaking clock, that's what they called that thing at the time, had been dialed hundreds of times in a few days. At one point, the number had been dialed 6 times in 1 minute. So now you have to understand, this is the 60s, so they didn't have all the technology, as you know, that we do now about, you know, telephones and, you know, do you follow me about how things were? Steve, you weren't born yet, but...
Oh, yeah.
But you
well,
know...
No, I mean, I wasn't, but I understand what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about. And people in the chat room, I'm sure you may be following this too. So anyway, this appeared to be impossible at the time, as the technology of that time, at the time, meant that it took 16 seconds for a call to be connected. So telephone interference did not stop there. Calls would be cut off with no apparent explanation, and all the phone lines would ring at once, despite the fact that there were no incoming calls registered on the switchboard. I mean, that is pretty wow. So the local press became interested. So all there were so many people involved. The local press became interested in these strange events, and therefore, television companies and were producing documentaries on the subject. So the lawyer who owned the firm filed a charge against the unknown practical joker, who he thought must be responsible for the disturbing events. So then the local police also had an interest. So that's why this became so famous. Everybody was involved. So they had an interest in this case. So it is estimated that there were about 40 witnesses to the Rosenheim case over the 2 years that paranormal events took place. So a professor, Hans Bender, at this university in Germany, I can't pronounce it, but the parapsychology unit, he began to carry out an investigation in Rosenheim. So he linked the phenomena with Anne-Marie Schneider, as all activity seemed to occur during the time that she was in the office. So he observed that light fittings would swing violently. Then she walked underneath them, and Steve, I know we've talked about things happen like that for us or whatever, not violently, but and then other events would be exaggerated by her presence. Bender tested her for ESP abilities, and the results suggested that she was telepathic. Her mental state. Her mental state during this time, which I can totally relate to this, the paranormal events was poor. This is the same thing that happened to me when I was going through this stuff before UCLA. I was very sick, and I was so that's a pretty well-known thing because it's very draining on an individual. Her relationship, of course, with fiance was deteriorating, and she had experienced a great deal of family problems. Because there's so much stress, like we were talking about, even people younger than her, it's very difficult. So other phenomena began to occur at the office. Pictures rotated on the walls. This was apparently caught on film, and heavy filing cabinets moved forward on its own. A photocopier fluid was spilt while no one was near it, and drawers opened by themselves. And the lawyer lost patience, finally, for the occurrences, and sent Miss Schneider home on leave. And then the paranormal event stopped immediately following her departure. So this is very similar to what I've experienced. Well, you know, mine wasn't a big, you know, event thing. But this, again, is in 1967. The Rhine Institute was already up, but this is in Germany. But this is the stuff that was happening in my home when I was talking to someone in the chat room. I ran out of there so quick because I didn't know. Because my tables were turning. They would turn. I was taping the corners. The chairs would lift up. It was levitation. We're lifting up and going down, not real high, and smashing. Pictures were moving, and some would fall. There were things moving like doorknobs. In the kitchen, things would start rattling. It was very intense. So that is one of the most ones, because there were so many people involved, is why. Like I said, the telephone companies, everybody, the police, everybody's, the electricians and all that. So I thought that was very interesting. I wanted to share it with you all.
Well, thank you, Maureen. We appreciate it. It's absolutely fascinating. I've read a lot about the Enfield poltergeist, and that's an incredible case as well, because it was just all over the press. I mean, the whole of the UK was reading about it when that was happening in the mid-70s, and even the police, when they were called out to the property, they just didn't have any explanation, and they were quoted in the press as well as witnesses. So it's absolutely fascinating, and I could talk about it all evening. Now, we're going to take another short commercial break, Maureen, and then we're going to come back and start taking calls from our listeners. So we'll take that break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We've come to that part of the show when we take your calls and questions. So you can either call in or ask a question in the chat room, but we will take the callers first because we know that people are waiting online. Now, again, I want to remind you of the call-in number for your free reading. It's 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that again, 724-444-4851. Now, do remember that nobody will answer your call. You'll just come through. You'll be placed on hold automatically, so relax. Listen to the show whilst you wait, and when you're on air, you'll be able to speak with us. Please do try to be specific with your questions. We don't have a long time for each reading, so give us a focus area and that will enable us to ask Spirit and seek guidance for the area of your life you're particularly interested in. So let's see who we have. We do have a caller on the line from Texas. Who do we have with us from Texas?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us, Lisa. Did you enjoy the show?
Yes, I did. That's my first time.
Oh, great. Well, we're happy to have you with us, Lisa, and thank you for calling in for a reading. Now, Sharon's going to read for you, so I'm going to hand you over to Sharon.
Okay.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Sharon. Good.
That's good. Did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes. I'm having a lot of visions. Like, I can see what's going on, even in my own family and our own stranger. And sometimes I get confused. I want to know where to go from there. And I feel like there's a lot I need to find out how to handle it. But I just need to know where to go.
All right, Lisa, that's a good question. So it feels like you've been opening up for a long time. So this isn't something that's just all of a sudden happened. And I'm feeling, you know, this growing, this learning about ourselves and learning about our psychic energy, it doesn't stop. It's always a continuous, you know, I learn every day. Like, everybody's always learning. So this isn't something that's just going to stop one day and you're going to reach your potential. I am feeling that there's a book coming to you, and I'm feeling there's a course coming to you. I almost go to September, and I'm feeling someone's going to approach you, and they're going to talk about this course, and I feel you're going to take it with a friend, and it's really going to help you. It's almost like it's going to structure what you're going through, and there's also a book. I'm feeling it has a blue cover, so there's something you're really going to get into, and you're going to sort of streamline. You know, it happens the same way that you're going through it. It happens for all of us. It's like you look back and you realize all the little things you've learned along the way get us to where you have to go. So you remember you're always in the right place. So sorry, did that help you at all?
Yes, because the class you talk about, my husband and I, we've been talking about that. And actually, I met a friend who offered those classes, but it's just the time where she offered and the date she offered those classes was not convenient for me, and I even asked my husband to join me on going to those classes, and then he said yes, but it's just the time.
Yeah, you're going to go, you're going to be with someone when you take the course. And I'm also feeling that, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hard to hear what Spirit's saying, but just tell them to be crystal clear. Like, talk to Spirit, tell them what you're looking for, tell them you're confused, and to make it crystal clear where you have to go. You know, we can be a little bit aggressive when it comes to our own learning, you know? I mean, not demanding, but just a little bit you know, just ask them to be crystal clear. Okay?
Okay. Okay, I will
all
do
right.
that.
Okay, you take care, Lisa.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Lisa, and thank you for reading for Lisa Sharon. That was fantastic. Now, we have a caller from Cleveland. Who's calling from Cleveland?
Hi, this is Lynette.
Hi, Lynette. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there best I can.
Good, Lynette. Well, I'm going to hand you over to Jackie for your reading.
All right, thank you.
Hi, Lynette. Welcome.
Hi, Jackie.
Okay.
Let's
start from the top. Go ahead. What can I help you with this evening?
Something happened to me recently while I was in Canada on the 27th of March. It was not a very good experience, what happened to me there. Just wondering, in the particular case that did happen, if I will be able to recall any of it, and the person that I was with, will we rekindle the friendship of what due to what happened.
Okay, so what I'm understanding is you were with this person, and there's some sort of blackout, for lack of better terms, and you're just wondering, trying to connect the dots to that experience?
I connected most of them before I had to call Canada regarding what happened. The individuals here in Ohio with me, but the contact is gone from the trip.
Okay.
I want to know if that person's going to come back and forgive or whatever.
Okay. There's a couple things going on here, Lynette, okay? And I know what you're asking me. But what I don't feel there's going to be a complete resolution that you're seeking, okay? However, there is a reason that experience happened. You are at this time in your life, and if you can find a way, I'm going to get into this in detail, if you can find a way to sort of come to terms with this, because I know it's eating you up. When I feel you, it's just like, I need answers. I need to sort of, you know, close the door on this chapter of my life. But if you don't have all those answers, I really encourage you, you know, that the guides are showing me clearly that you're going to be okay. It will be okay if this resolution that you're seeking doesn't happen, because beyond that, there's so much more that's going on for you. This part of your life, I felt like this is sort of, you know, this big awakening, you know, things that are finally getting shaken up for you. Because in the first part of your life, or up until now, up until what had happened, you know, a couple weeks ago, it's about awakening now this part of yourself, you know, these sort of spiritual / psychic experiences and things that are coming your way. And what happens is you're sort of being taught prompted to let go of the old and start to step into the new. So this cycle in your life is coming to an end, in terms of who you are and the things in your life. You know, it's becoming clear of, you know, the people, the places, the experiences. You're growing and evolving and learning how to let go and not hold on to the past. That's the very, very clear lesson here, is they're asking you to please. Sorry, go ahead if you want to interrupt me. That's
sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry, because my phone kind of broke up there. So I understand it, because I feel about a new beginning. But will this individual be in contact for forgiveness, or is that totally gone?
I'm not getting that they are. I'm getting that it's just done. That part is just done. And if it's okay, you know, and that's why they're really showing me that it's okay if you don't get that forgiveness. Like, you learn to forgive yourself and saying, okay, I'm not going to hold on to this. But it's just what they're showing me. But being okay with that, sometimes, you know, it's like, well, I need this, you know, I expect this. I I won't feel better until I know, you know, they say that to me. You know, we get stuck in that with a lot of different things.
Okay.
But you're so much more. You are beyond that. Underneath all that, there's so much more waiting for you. And I feel strongly about not letting that thing that you're waiting for to get in the way.
Okay. So
can you make peace with that? Is that possible?
I made peace with 95% of what you just was said prior to joining this beautiful site. But I need closure from this individual, and from my understanding, I'm not going to be getting that from him, correct?
I'm not seeing that. However,
okay.
you could hear secondhand. It may not be a direct link from them, but you could hear, you know, down the road, in hindsight, about that person.
And the friendship is over, correct?
I'm really feeling that, and you know, sometimes we say things, and it's not easy to hear, but I almost feel like you know that deep down, and
I'm
receiving confirmation.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lynette, and good luck to you, and just, you know, it's okay. And maybe find a way in your heart just to say, okay, no matter what, I'm going to just, you know, keep moving ahead and wish, you know, everything the best for you.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Jackie. Now, we have a caller that Maureen is going to take, and I think this caller is from Pennsylvania. Do we have somebody on the line from Pennsylvania?
Hello, caller. I think it's Beth. Hello, Pennsylvania. Hello. No, they're there.
I think we may have lost the Pennsylvania call, Maureen. I've just received a message saying that we're trying to get the caller back, so we'll be able to get them back in a moment. But I'd like to ask you to take the call when we get the caller through, Maureen, if that's okay.
Yeah, I got it back. Oh, we got
her. Am I on now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
It's
is Beth?
How are you?
Is this Beth?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I've had some struggles.
You got me. I'm reading for you.
Okay. I've had some focus issues with my workouts lately. I have a half marathon coming up in May, and it just feels like it's a struggle to get going and get out there and do my runs, but I can do all my other workouts fine. And I'm wondering if there's just something going on that I need to know about with these runs.
Okay, or maybe it might be something indirectly that just so much not, I know, and I'm familiar with the fact that you're a marathon runner and you do train, you know what you're doing, you know the training involved. And what you're saying is, or what I hear you saying is, there's something different about this time around with your training and your runs. Is it like, because I know that you've done this before, you know, like I said, you know what you're supposed to do as far as getting prepared. But this time around, you're not feeling like you are, what's the word I'm looking for? You're not inspired to do it, but even though you know you're supposed to, or is there something that you think that, I'm wondering where you're concerned, because my feeling is, you know, it's interesting. I think that it's your state of energy. It looks like you're really on a, I mean, you look like somebody that, it might be a little lonely right now for you, but you're in a really spiritual place right now. And pretty intense. You have a lot of intense, I mean, more than that, it's almost like you can see things. There's just some really interesting, and I think that, you know, I know a little bit about you and about some of the changes that you've been going through personally and so on. So what I guess I'm wondering why you're asking this question. Is it a concern to you because you feel that, because I know that you're so, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You're focused, you're direct, you know, disciplined. You have a lot of discipline. So I'm wondering, this time around, why would you be concerned? Because I don't feel this is a physical problem. I don't see anything like that.
I'm just feeling drained, and I do have a time goal this time, where the other times it was just to finish, and so maybe I'm just a little stressed out about the time goal that I set for myself.
Okay, I see. So this is like a challenge. It's more of a challenge. You're challenging yourself more on this one, right?
Yeah.
You have time. You know what? I don't think it's going to be a problem. This is a good timing to do that too. You know, some people, like my daughter always said, you need to challenge yourself more when you have a good brain or something, but you're a good runner, you're a marathon runner, and now is the time to be a little bit more challenging. That can be kind of intense because it's easy to stay on your level. I see you you're going to have much joy from this whole experience. It's going to be wonderful. And I feel that you're right about that because of what I just brought up, because you haven't been challenged lately as you had maybe years ago when you first, I don't know how long you've been running, but, you know, when you first started out, your challenges or your goals are different. And I think that's a very good point. I agree with that, but I don't feel that it's going to be a problem. I think that you just will do what you do. And I think in the meantime, though, there is a sense of a spiritual connection along with this. It might be actually to your benefit in that way. And I think that when you're doing this running, when's the marathon? What date is the marathon? The date? How long are you training for?
May 15th.
Okay. So, you know, what I suggest when you're doing when you go out doing your run, I would do like almost like in a way of looking, adding your other part of yourself about, well, it is spirit, running is spiritual to me. My sister was a marathon runner and I would run a little bit for her with her a long way. I feel that, yeah, I get a really good feeling about there's a very good sense of peaceness, and there's a really good justice feeling to this. There's justice with this, because I think that it's a good thing for you to meet your goal. You've empowered yourself in a lot of other ways in your personal life. I see you meeting your goal on this, and with the time that you're talking about you want to meet. And I think when you just go run, just do it, and don't think much more into it, I guess, is when you're doing it, and not thinking that you're doing as you should or whatever because of the goal, the timing, that you want to get a better time. Because I see it being very positive. So I can't really say for you to do anything different, because I think what you're doing is just exactly what you're doing, but which you have to do the run. And I think...
It's a head game for me right now, I think.
And, you know, I can understand why, because what you've been through recently. And also, because of your goals, you're challenging yourself on the goal, which I think is a really neat, cool thing, and it can be scary. I see you meeting that goal. I see you're going to do very well. And I wouldn't do anything different. I know it's the mind, it's in your thoughts, and when you're doing that, I think, try to do a partial meditational thing when you're running, if that makes any sense. You know, I just feel that might be something, if you follow what I'm saying.
I do, yes.
Carbs. Well, Cheryl's right, need to carb, Lord. Have a lot of spaghetti. You know, you have some more carbs that would help. But,
would be my nutritionist,
you know, Beth, I haven't put too much energy into this. I think it's kind of scary. You're going to meet this goal, that you definitely, and it's a challenge. It's another level for you, and it's going to be absolutely wonderful. I see. Yeah, I know you didn't ask me that question. It looks like the outcome, I see it wonderful. And a completion of this will be really great. It's your goal. And in the meantime, just go for it. and try to do maybe a sense of meditation when you're running differently than you had before. Come and calm yourself. And just let your body do the rest.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
I know. I hope I helped you. I think you kind of need this, but I hope I helped you. You're going to do well.
Did.
I can't wait to hear
thank
about
you.
It. You're going to give me a meat tackle. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you, Beth. You
Goodbye.
Sound good.
Well, thank you, Beth, and thank you for the reading, Maureen. That's great. Now, the next caller is from Colorado, and I'll be taking this call. Who do we have from Colorado?
You have Garen.
Your name is Garen.
This is Darren.
Darren. Hi, Darren. How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. How can I help you?
My question is, I've been feeling spirits around lately, and I wonder if you're getting anything.
Sorry, you wonder if I'm getting anything, meaning am I sensing your connection with spirit?
Yes.
Is that okay? The first thing that my guides say to you is that you definitely have opened up to spirit, but they take you back to childhood, and they're giving me the number five. I'm drawn back to the time when you were five, and my guides are saying if you think back to that time, you should have memories of actually having similar experiences to those that you're having now, because I do feel that your connection with spirit and your psychic gifts were always there. It's just that as we grow up, we often tend to switch them off, or society and our education knocks our intuition out of us in favor of rationalization. So if you think back to when you were five, do you recall any experiences then?
I'll have to think about it. I have experienced, over the years, I've experienced some connection, and lately I've been feeling like perhaps some family members that have passed on have been visiting.
Absolutely, and you know, our families do stay close to us, and my guides are showing me a lady in spirit and also a gentleman, and they're talking about you in a sounds obvious and to say pink dress, but I'm seeing a little pink dress, and it's got a frill around the bottom, and it's almost the neckline is almost right up to the neck, and there's a rounded collar, but it's somehow short-sleeved. And I'm seeing a photograph, and it's a photograph of you as a little girl, and you're holding the lady's hand, and you're holding her hand in your right hand. So she stands to your right, and I see this photograph very clearly, and I see this lady with a beautiful smile. And when I ask my guides, well, who is this lady that recalls this memory? I'm told that she's your grandmother. And when I ask, well, is she paternal or maternal? I'm drawn to your mother's side of the family.
Yes.
And
yes, that's right.
My guides are saying that that photograph is still in the family. Not sure if you have it or somebody else has it. But if you ask and you look, you will find that photograph of you in the pink dress that my guides described, holding your grandmother's hand in your right hand. And it's outdoors. You're in a garden. And I see very high flowers, very long with very long stems. Do you know of that photo already?
I don't. I'll look for it.
Do have a look, because I see it so clearly. And this lady is so close to you. Now, I'm also getting, I'm not suggesting that this is the lady's name, but I know that there's a Dorothy or a Doris in the family, on your mother's side of the family. And this is, again, a lady in spirit, somehow connected to your grandparents on your mother's side of the family. And the name, it's Doris or Dorothy, and it's very clear.
Well, my paternal grandmother is Dorothy.
Okay, now is she in spirit?
Yes.
Okay, because your maternal grandmother is giving me this name, and I was confident that it's not her name, but she speaks of this lady and says that she sees this lady, she's connected with this lady, and that this lady is also around you. And they say that absolutely you have a very strong connection with spirit. They're very close to you. And they talk of I'm drawn to the left-hand side of your face, and I feel a light breeze. It's as though there's a light breeze on your left-hand cheek and in your hair on the left-hand side. And you will feel that when you're lying down, I'm either having a nap in the afternoon or as you drift off to sleep, you'll feel that. And my guides are saying, when you do feel that, feel comforted, because that's a sign from your maternal grandmother and your paternal grandmother. You said the name was Doris.
I think it's Dorothy.
Dorothy, sorry, I couldn't remember if you said Doris or Dorothy. So remember that. Now, there's also good healing ability with you as well. And you'll find that you're more and more drawn to working with spirits. I see you reading, but I also see hands-on healing. So consider that as well. You've got a strong gift. And do think back to when you were five. If you ask your family, there'll be a memory of something happening when you were five, of a story you told, something that couldn't be explained at the time. And you'll see that you had this very strong connection back then. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Wonderful. Well, I accept your grandmother Dorothy's love and your maternal grandmother's love. They're very much with you, and we wish you all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay, now we have another caller, and the caller, I don't have the caller's location, I've got the caller's name, Miss Kim. Do we have Miss Kim on? Oh, actually, no. Now I'm seeing a message saying it's New York City, so we have somebody from New York City. Who's calling from New York?
I'm Anne.
Hi, Anne, how are you?
Okay. Good, thanks. I just wanted a general reading, no specific questions.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Anne. Well, it's Sharon, and I'll be doing your reading tonight. The first thing I'm seeing is that there's excitement around you. There feels like I'm seeing a door opening, and I'm seeing it flying open, and it's like you're going to walk right through. I keep getting July kind of lighting up, and I'm feeling it almost feels like things are going to start happening. A little bit of magic is going to be in your life, and I'm seeing, as you're walking forward, I'm seeing signs along the way. Go this way. Go that way. So you're being very guided right now. So it's really important to hear and to listen. And have you been feeling that energy around you lately? That kind of magical energy?
Well, things have kind of lifted up a little bit right now. So, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and it's you know, what you're experiencing now is nothing compared to what's going to be happening in July. I just see you, you're excited, you're smiling, you keep looking back and thinking, oh, is it going to stop? But it doesn't stop. It feels like this energy, it's almost like you have a little lucky star over your head, and it's going to continue for most of the year. So it's a really great time for you. And I'm feeling a little bit of schooling that's going to happen in September. So I don't know if that's part of the plan. But I'm feeling that there's a large textbook around you, and I'm feeling that there's going to be a little bit of learning that's going to take place, and I'm feeling you meeting someone. It feels like a really good friend. It feels like like another woman, and it feels like you're going to be meeting her, and you're going to be of like minds, and the two of you are going to, like, you won't be able to be separated. Like you're just going to meet, and you're both going to be into learning and feel something spiritual, and it's going to be lots of fun. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Anne. You take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Now, we have another caller on the line. We have, let me see. Jackie, you're reading next, right?
Yes, and looks like it's somebody from Texas.
And it's Texas. Okay, thank you. So who do we have from Texas?
Oh, I think it's me.
Great, thank you. What's your name?
Lisa.
Great, Lisa. Well, you're with Jackie.
Hi, Lisa. Was that you in the room who was just saying, I wish I would have asked a question or not asked a question?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm glad you got through, Lisa. How can I help you then tonight, honey?
I think I just want to know what's next.
You want to know what's next? So something general? Yes. Or you have anything specific?
Yes. No, general.
Alrighty, so let me see what we can bring through for you this evening, Lisa. By the way, they are... Yeah, okay. you have this amazing amount of energy. You know, it's this childlike, playful, fun part of yourself that you're starting to embrace again. You know, I get this very strong feeling that you were somebody for a good part of your life who was so serious. You know, you were just like a little uptight, you know, and I'm saying this in a very nice way, of course. And you were like, you almost were like, I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be this person. You know, this isn't who I am. This isn't who I feel deep inside. But what happened is you're somebody who's also very sensitive. So you tend to pick up on other people's, you know, baggage and sort of negativity. So a couple of things, be conscious of that. And, you know, really ask yourself if you're in that place where you're like, why am I stuck in this sort of, you know, icky place? And then you may realize it's not even you, because what's happening is this very fun, childish, playful, not childish, immature, but, you know, a very playful energy is coming through, and you're ready to emerge as that light, you know, that energy that we really need. You know, we need people like you, Lisa, okay, because there's too much seriousness out there, and you know that because you've experienced it, and you've also realized that it doesn't have to be that way. So this is very exciting news, because now it's sort of like you're emerging and bringing that energy into your life now. And I'm going to just say one more thing here as well. I know when it gets another person on the line, but okay. They want you to take care of yourself physically. You know, treat your body as the temple that it is that's carrying your soul. So be a little kinder to yourself physically. I feel that sometimes you can be a little hard on yourself. So take that time to really love yourself. You know, give yourself as much love and compassion as you do to others, because you're first, and you need to start to put yourself first, because then it's so much easier to give elsewhere when you're giving to yourself first.
You're right. Thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome, Lisa, and good luck to you, honey.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Have fun.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you to you, Jackie. Great reading. Now, the next caller is from Texas. This is going to be a short reading because we're running out of time. Who do we have calling from Texas?
Ohio.
Oh, actually, sorry. No, it's Ohio. I apologize. So sorry for the confusion. Who's calling from Ohio?
Amber is calling from Ohio.
Hello, Amber from Ohio. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
We're great, thank you, Amber. We're happy to have you with us. Now, Maureen's going to read for you.
Okay. Hi, Amber.
Hi, Maureen.
I'm ready for you.
Okay, I actually was just wondering if you have, like, kind of like a general reading for me, or do I need to ask a specific question, or...
Because of our time constraint, our time, you know, the time in here that we are, it's better... Best if you could do a direct question, because there's a time I'm up against.
Okay. I guess my direct question then would be about a guy I was seeing. I've actually think I've talked to you before about him on the website, the Psychic Access website. Excuse me, I have a cold today. I haven't talked to him in about a week, and kind of just was wondering where I think. You know, I've been told to, you know, just back off and let him go. But my big question is I want to know if he's still thinking about me, and if things are going to work out or not.
Okay, and what's his name? And I'll remember.
Mike.
His name?
His name is Mike.
Okay, great. All right. And I do remember a little, when I channel my readings out, so it doesn't mean I don't want to remember the readings, but it's good because that I'm objective that way. You know, I do feel that I see, this is what I see. I see that holding on to the past is not the best thing as far as the situation with him and you. And, it appears like he's not happy with his work situation, and you've been picking up a lot of intense vibrations,
psychically speaking, you've been picking up a lot of stuff through the not normal means. But the last time you spoke to him, I see you waiting for him. You're waiting for him, and I do feel it's going to be a delay. I think you're going to get you know, you're great. You know, really, Amber, you're a great woman. You have a lot of you have the ability to really hang in there, and you worked really hard, and you have a lot of patience. This is a very non-traditional type of feeling of relationship, and you have a lot of faith in spiritual. It's what, however you get it, through church or whatever you do, to go to the beach or whatever, you have faith that you see the light in the tunnel. But this relationship is one that's not very conventional or traditional. I think you're looking for it, but I do see a completion around this. I do feel that in the next 4 months, it doesn't look like much is going to be going on, but I do feel, I really feel that there is a potential here, but it doesn't look like you can see it yet because of probably his reasons and his whatever he needs to be sorting out. But, you know, unless there's somebody else that you're seeing, I'm not clear on if that's the case, you know, that can make a difference. But no, I do feel after 4 months will be difficult, Amber. But after that, I do feel that there might be a really turnaround that'll be quite something pretty good. So if you're not seeing anybody else, where is there?
Okay.
Amber?
No, there isn't anybody else, no.
Okay, so this is why I want to make sure. I see him hanging around, but I don't see seeing him very soon or be connected with him. But after 4 months, there's quite of a shift, and I do feel that you have a reason to feel hope. And see, you have reason to feel that this is going to be completed for a new beginning. You have reason to feel that way. I don't think it'll, I'm not going to, you know, I feel that it's an opportunity. It doesn't seem or appear like it, maybe sometimes, but a good 4 months. If you can hang in there 4 months, give it a 4 months and try to focus on yourself and do whatever you can do for you. And I do feel that there's going to be an opportunity to be had with this. I really do.
Okay.
So I hope that helped you.
And
I'll be back my notes that I before, and I'll email. Yeah, I'll read about what I wrote to you before. But because it's such a short time period in here. But I hope I helped you and you followed me okay.
Yeah, thank you so very much.
You're welcome, Amber. Good night. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jackie and Amber. Now we've got one last call. It's going to be a very quick call because we're about to end the show. Who do we have calling from Utah?
It would be me, Kim.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. How is everybody else doing?
We're doing well. Thank you, Kim. We're doing well. How can I help you?
Well, I would like to know, I feel like my relationship with Don is turning over a new positive leaf, and I would like to know if my intuition is correct.
Okay. And what's your partner's name?
Don. D-O-N.
Don. Okay. Great. And what is your partner's date of birth, Kim?
Mine is 6861, and his is 4161.
4161, let me see, 17, 18, 22. Okay. Well, you know, I'm very interested in numerology, and if he's 4-1-1961, his life number is 22, which is 22. You add the numbers together and break them down, so 22 is 2 plus 2, 4. But 22 is a very good number. In numerology, we go from the sequence of the numbers 1 to 9, and then there are four master numbers, 11, 22, 33, and 44. And they're special numbers. They're spiritual numbers. Now, they bring with them some challenges and complexities. People that have a master number as their life path often are challenged because they're here to grow, as we all are, but they're often particularly stretched. But the good news is he's a good guy. You can see that from his numerology, and my guides are saying he's a good person. As I said, we've all got our issues, but he's essentially a good man, right?
Right.
Now, my guides are saying that he's strong-minded. He likes to achieve whatever he sets his mind on, but he does things in incremental steps. So he's somebody that sort of feels his way as he goes along. He's not necessarily a man who says, right, this is my vision, this is the end state, whether it's with a relationship or with a career, and off I go. He tends to feel his way as he goes along. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And so he's the same way in a relationship. He goes into and through a relationship, working it out as he goes along. He is quite highly strung. You know, he is a man who sometimes takes things too seriously. He sometimes gets confused and stressed. Now, we all do, but it's particularly the case with him, my guides are saying. And they also say that he can be quite impulsive with his decisions, but he often regrets his decisions. Unfortunately, in the negative, he can tend to be a little stubborn, a little rigid in his views. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. But this is all to do with his life path and to do with his character. It's not to do with how he feels or doesn't feel about you. So, you know, if you think about it, it's more who he is, and the difficulties that you've experienced in the relationship are to do with his character. Obviously, yours as well. It takes two to tango, and it's not just about him. But do understand that he has some of these insecurities and some of these issues. A lot of it for him goes back to his parents. He didn't have the smoothest childhood, and my guides are saying he didn't always get the approval and the agreement that he would have liked from his parents. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, you have to understand his background and his character. But he's a loyal and bright man. And he's spiritually, he's a good man. And I absolutely do see, from what my guides show me, that this could work out well for you. And you know, I see him recognizing that he's made some mistakes in the past. I see him recognizing that he needs to try harder, that he needs to be less stubborn and more compromising. But I see from what my guides show me that he's extremely fond of you. And absolutely, I do see him making some big changes because he doesn't want to lose you from his life. And my guides point to the month of May. They're saying that things will really have turned around and you'll be very excited about the relationship by the middle to mid, say second week to the middle of May. Okay.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
My guides also mentioned the month of July to you. The month of July should be very significant to one or both of you.
Wow. Nice.
It's significant moving forward, but it's also significant in the past. So if you ask him about his past, you'll find that there was a very significant event for him in the month of July in a previous year. But absolutely, I see you working it out. I see you moving forward. There's a strong connection and affection. And, you know, he really is mellowing and maturing. And you're definitely the person that can help him become everything that he could be.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome. We wish you lots of luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of another great show. I want to just reiterate our thanks to Celeste Oliver for joining us and telling us about her family, the Fox sisters and the Hydesville Wrappings. I also want to thank Doug, who works hard behind the scenes to keep us on track and for making sure that everything works out. I want to thank my co-hosts as well. I want to let you know, before we say our goodbyes, that we're going to be changing the name of the show just slightly to the Psychic Viewpoint, and we're about to reach our 1-year anniversary, which is exciting. We've got lots of new shows and great topics, great guests lined up for the future. Now, next week is going to be hosted by Jackie. What can we look forward to next week, Jackie?
Well, I'm really excited about my guest next week. She's somebody I know personally and who I've been to many times. Her name is Angela Nicastro. We're going to be talking about astrology. She's going to be discussing astrological transits, the spiritual science of reading the DNA, evolutionary astrology, and understanding the language of energy. And she's just an amazing, amazing person. So we're going to be in for quite a treat. So I'm looking forward to that.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to that as well, Jackie. Thank you, and thank you for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
And thank you to you as well, Sharon. Would you like to say your goodbyes?
Thanks, Steve. It was a great show. Good night, everyone. See you next week.
Take care, Sharon. And Maureen?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I say good night and bless you all your hearts, and thanks for joining us. It was really great energy and energy tonight, too. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Maureen, and Leslie, thank you to all of you for listening to the show. It will be posted to Facebook, and also the archive is available at psychicaccesstalkradio.com, so feel free to share that with your friends and your loved ones. And we look forward to being back with you next Thursday, same time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Have a wonderful weekend.